हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्थु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्थु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर शिवसरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Okay, so last time we saw that the Pandavas, when they were confident that Purochana was confident that they didn't know what was going on, then they knew now is the proper time. So after they had seen there was a big festival at the Varanavata and then you had the tribal woman and her five sons then coming there and eating so much they just fell asleep and the servants couldn't wake them up. And then Purochana, you know, being comfortable that now they're relaxed and he went to sleep, he didn't have to watch them, because normally he'd be watching and checking everything they're doing. And so then Yudhishthira said, now's the time. So then Bhima went around, lit the house, starting at the door so Purochana couldn't get out, and then went all the way around. And so, and since the tunnel was in the center of the house, then the outside's burning, so no one can get out of the house. And from the outside, you'll see the house is burning, but then, and so no one can see in what's going on, and then they can go in through the center and go out through the tunnel. So now, then the house, you know, started burning. The citizens in Varanavata came. They were feeling very bad. They were blaming Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra and even Bhishma that how he let such things happen. And, you know, while they're there and looking through the remnants of the, after the fire, you know, all the ashes and that, putting out the embers and that, then the miner, because he knows where the hole is, and he'll see that, you know, things are there and no one's going to go there and check. Because when it's burnt down, they'll just leave it. You know, it's not like it's anybody's place that they'll rebuild it. And so then he'll cover it up so that they don't even look. So then no one knows. He knows, the Pandavas know. And when the news gets back to Hastinapur, then, you know, Dhritarashtra and others are feeling very bad, and Bhishma and everybody. Only Vidura doesn't feel bad. The citizens of the city, they feel bad. But Vidura doesn't, because he knows what the plan was and that they escaped. So then, they found Purochana, you know, because they knew he was there. And they found that tribal woman and her five sons. So they figured that was Kunti and her five sons. So then by this, then case closed. You know, the Pandavas and Purochana are dead. And so Duryodhana doesn't have to worry that Purochana will say anything. And at the same time, you know, it appears the Pandavas are dead. So, you know, as far as Duryodhana is concerned, plan went well. But, you know, in reality, as far as Vidura's plan, then that's what actually went well. So now we continue there. The Pandavas and Kunti emerged from their tunnel some distance from Varanavata. As their eyes, so it was a long tunnel. It wasn't just, you know, out of the house and right up. So it went for some distance and then out. So it's way in the forest, so no one would see them coming out. As their eyes became accustomed to the darkness, they proceeded in the direction they had already charted. They had gone out during the day to walk around for walks and go hunting, so they were checking where they would go, and they found the path that they would take to get away. Tired and afraid, they found it difficult to hurry. Seeing this, the tireless Bhima lifted them all onto his huge and powerful frame. To everyone's astonishment, he placed his mother on his shoulders, the twins on his two sides, and Yudhishthira and Arjuna on each arm, and then ran through the forest, knocking down trees and treading down bushes and brambles. So they'll get tired, but he has the strength of 10,000 elephants, right? So, you know, just going out of the house, the day's work and then running out of the house isn't going to make him tired, you know. Even if that was one elephant tired, he's still got, you know, 999 to, you know, or 9,999 to go. So he picks him up, puts his mother, you know, on the neck so she's, you know, solid, then puts the twins, you know, okay, say like this, and then he has Arjuna and them here, you know, so his mother, then the, what do you call it, the twins, and then Arjuna and Yudhishthir. And then he just runs. And then we'll see with his chest, he just, you know, there's a tree there, he just puts his chest out, you know, so, and it just knocks the tree over. So he doesn't bother with, you know, it's dark, he can't say, where's the path? He just runs, and it doesn't matter. He just knocks everything over. At dawn, they arrived at the Ganges, where another of Vidura's emissaries met them. This man was sitting in a boat, and he called out to the Pandavas as they stood measuring the depth of the river with a stone tied to a creeper, because they wanted to know how deep it is, how quick it is, what's the best way to go across, because Manu mentions that, you know, one should be very careful, especially the Brahmins, that they don't enter a river, a body of water they don't know, because you never know what's under, how deep it is. Sometimes it looks peaceful on the top, there's currents underneath, or there's rocks, or there's, you know, animals that you don't wish that were there, you know, like that. Like, you sometimes see these pictures of these, you know, for tourism, these beautiful beaches with white sand and turquoise waters and all the coconut trees and all that, but there's nobody on the beach. And that, I was talking to one devotee, I think, from that area, you know, from that Mediterranean kind of area and all that. And I said, wow, you know, so nice, not so many beaches, no people there. He says, no people there because there's piranhas. You know, so they've just taken the picture to show how nice it is, but that's not where you're going to go swimming. So like that, they're testing first. Startled, the brothers looked around, right, because he called out to them. So they're out in the middle of nowhere in the forest next to the Ganga, and this man then calls out to them. Yudhishthir approached the man in the boat, who told him that they had been instructed by Vidura to wait there for them. He had been there every night for months. Because Vidura had said, you know, at any time they'll be there. So he sent the miner. The miner was there the same day they arrived, right? You know, so not the same day, the same day they arrived at the house, right? They were in the city, but the house has to be ready. So the miner can't do anything till the house is ready and they move in. Because once they move in, then Parochana will stay, you know, in his place. Because he can't walk around the house. It's the Pandavas. He's only the keeper. So he has his room in the front. That's his place. So he can move around outside, but like this. So as soon as they're coming in, they're settled and all that, then the miner comes and says, I've been sent by Vidura. And so then what night they'll move, they don't know. All they know is going to be that Parochana is going to wait for a dark moon night. So I think maybe like a year had passed that they had been there. And so, you know, until it got to the right situation and all that. And so then, so this boatman had been there for months waiting because any night they could come. You know, and Vidura just wants to make sure it goes well. And so it's natural that if you have Varnavati, you can't go on the main roads and all that. So you have to go out through the way that's away from everything else. So that would be this point. So then the boatman is there, just waiting, because that would be the natural place for them to go. He had been there every night for months, carefully watching for signs of the brothers. The man assured Yudhishthir of his credentials by repeating to him the conversation the prince had with Vidura as he departed from Hastinapur. Remember, the same one in the tribal language. Explaining that he had come to ferry them across the river and help them on their way, the man said, Vidura has sent his embrace and said you will surely be victorious over your enemies. He said that you should remain always alert and dependent upon the Lord. Right? So Krishna will take care of everything, but that doesn't mean that we don't do something in the process. Okay, so Vidura has said that you should always remain alert and dependent upon the Lord, by whose arrangement auspiciousness will always attend you. So Krishna is taking care of everything and protecting the devotees, but that doesn't mean the devotees don't make an endeavor. You know, it's just like Krishna already killed everybody on the battlefield except the Pandavas, but it doesn't mean that the Pandavas don't make their endeavor as service. So Krishna is the one that makes everything work, and then we take part as service. We are an instrument to assist. So that's why, so if we're dependent on the Lord, doesn't mean we're not aware and careful. You know, or if we're careful, doesn't mean we're not dependent on the Lord. The two go together, because you're taking it that, oh, I depend on the Lord, I don't have to worry about it, then that means Krishna has to do everything. So where's our relationship? What are we doing? And if it's thinking that, okay, I'm aware and all that, but I'm not seeing the connection to Krishna, then again, where's the relationship with Krishna? We think I'm doing all this when Krishna's actually doing. So the point is Krishna's doing it, and we can take part and get the credit. That's what Krishna likes that. He's doing everything because he's God. Then he likes it when the devotee makes the endeavor and then gets the credit for it. So then the boatman said, get into this boat quickly and I shall take you far from here. Right? Because they're going to go across the Ganges, not just right there. They're going to go to some other place. Because people go out in Varnavata, wherever it is, then you have the forest, then you have the Ganges. So people, even if they did go there, they'd expect them on the other side here. But he'll take them some other place that people won't expect. You know, Vidura's already worked out something where it would be, okay, if they go here, people will look here, but if you go there, no one's going to look, like this kind of thing. Propelled by an engine and sails, the boat moved swiftly through the flowing river toward the south, right? You know, because they had mechanical things they had back then. It's just that the Aryans didn't prefer them. They preferred, you know, the natural things and mantras and stuff. The demigods work like that. While the lower planets, they'll use other stuff. So he had some kind of system, mechanical system to make the boat go quickly, and sails. The Pandavas journeyed for some hours and were finally set down on the opposite bank near a broad path leading into the woods. Right, so the boatman already knew where to take them and everything was already planned. And so then if you go for hours on the Ganga, you can get quite a long distance. You know, so yeah. The boatman wished them success and departed, taking with him a message of thanks for Vidura. Right, so he'll send that to them, and then Vidura knows he has his people, like that. The brothers continued south, right? Because just if Vidura is there in the palace, doesn't mean he doesn't have his people. Like Duryodhana has his, Dhritarashtra have his people, you know. But Vidura will have his people, so he can get all his work done. He has his confidential people that are watching whatever Duryodhana is doing. The brothers continued south. They soon entered a dense forest. Feeling tired and hungry, they sat down. Yudhishthira said in an anguished voice, "What could be more painful? Here we are lost in some deep and fearful forest. We do not know if the sinful Purochana has somehow survived and informed Duryodhana of our escape." Because they don't know that, they don't know about the tribal woman and her five sons. So then if people look in that, they may not find anything, so then they'll think they escaped. Maybe Purochana did, and then he'll find. Because they don't, you know, nobody knows, and so they don't know. What dangers lie ahead for us now? So that's what he's thinking. Kunti was exhausted and could walk no further. She sat on a tree root, glancing around fearfully. Her sons searched about for a way to go deeper into the jungle. It appeared virtually impregnable, with its huge trees and bushes enmeshed in a tight network of creepers. Right, so you have the big trees, you have all the bushes and that, and then you have creepers, because no one's going there. So then instead, the dense forest means the only thing in there will be animals, right? And they just need a little gap to go through, like that. The cries of birds and animals filled the air. Yudhishthira gazed in the forest and said to Bhima, "Mighty son of Vayu, you must again carry us into these dreadful woods. I can see no other way for us to continue," right? Because it's so dense, they won't be able to move through like that. You know, they'll have to just go and, oh, this, move this, and everything. Bhima bowed his head in respect to his elder brother. Once again, he placed his mother and four brothers on his body. When they were all holding on tightly, right? He's holding them, they're holding on to him. He ran straight into the forest, right? He's not going around anything. You know, just straight. He bounded high into the air and broke trees with his feet. So he's running, and then he'll jump and then hit the tree and then land on it, and then you run along that. Clearing a path as he progressed, Tall flowering trees fell on all sides with great crackling sounds, sending up showers of blossoms, right? So they're going through this forest, so it's making these sounds, but at the same time, there's all these flowers fluttering around, you know? So the path is lined with flowers. Forest animals fled in all directions as the prince crashed through the woods, right? Because they've never heard anything like this, right? You know, elephants are there, they move through. They won't go through this dense stuff. You know, they have their paths that they keep clear, and the other animals they keep clear. So what goes through the forest and just clears its own path? That they haven't seen. He seemed like an angry elephant king charging through the jungle. So swift was his movement that Kunti and her sons almost fainted. Still carrying the five of them, Bhima also swam the streams and lakes that crossed his path. Right, so just with his feet, he's holding on and just swimming and all that. As evening fell, they stopped for the night under the shelter of a large banyan tree. Bhima set down his mother and brothers, and they fell to the ground, overwhelmed by fatigue, hunger, and thirst. Kunti asked Bhima to bring her some water. He replied, "I hear the sweet singing of waterfowl not far from here. Undoubtedly, there's a lake nearby." Yeah, because water birds, they have their own sound. They don't sound like other birds. They're different. And so if you hear them, you know that they're at water, because they aren't going to sit in a tree somewhere unless there's water there. So hearing the water birds, then he just knows he goes that direction, he'll find water. The unflagging Bhima went at once towards the sound and soon found the lake. After bathing and drinking deeply, he soaked his upper garment and went back to the banyan tree. But by the time he returned, his mothers and brothers had fallen into a deep sleep. Seeing them lying on the bare ground, Bhima lamented to himself. What more painful sight could there be? Here are my four brothers, who could not even sleep in Varnavata, in the costliest of beds, sleeping now on the cold earth. My gentle mother, as delicate and resplendent as the filament of the lotus flower, lies exhausted on the hard forest floor. Right? Because you see that these particular ladies, like Gandhari, like, you know, when we saw before that where she was married, so she was the most, you could say, qualified girl, the most beautiful girl, you know, in the whole, you know, Kshatriya scene at that time. And so she married Dhritarashtra. And then after her, because she was, you know, the elder, because then he was the next, was Pandu. Then in her generation, Kunti's generation, she was the most qualified. And then you'll see, you know, in the future, then when the Pandavas, they get married, then it's Draupadi. She's the most qualified in the whole of India. Right? So they're very, very special personalities. That's why you see as Gandhari is famous as one of the five main chaste women in the universe. You know, that means the whole universe. Kunti, Krishna's potency of success. She's empowered with that potency. And Draupadi, she's a partial incarnation of Indra's wife, who is a partial incarnation of Lakshmi. Because Lakshmi is everything connected to Vishnu, but people want wealth not connected to Vishnu. That's Sachi, that's Indra's wife. So Draupadi is a part represented that. So you have all wealth, all prosperity, like that, as the members of the family. So we can. So here is you have these five great personalities who are the sons of the demigods, and you know, and you could say prosperity personified there, and they're all sleeping on the ground when they should be the emperors of the world, right? So that's Bhima's feeling bad. Bhima wrung his hands in anguish and frustration. If only the Kauravas were present before him now, they would regret their treachery. Because they were there right now, he would kill each and every one of them. So he would have killed them at the time of the gambling match, because Yudhishthira said no, he didn't. Otherwise, he was so angry. Because let's say you have two fighters who are equal, but if one is more enthusiastic because he's more angry or more upset or something, he's in a stronger position, like that. So everybody else is laughing at the Pandavas, so they're not actually in the proper fighting mood, you know. And Bhima, if he's there, he'd take his club. He'd first just kill Duryodhana, you know, kill Duryodhana, kill Dushasana, And then after that, the rest of the brothers will just be easy. You know, the other kings. He just, you saw, if he's going through, we saw in Compilia, he just goes through that army of elephants, right? We'll see in the battle. What he does is he'll smash the head of one elephant and they're dead. He'll pick that elephant up and then toss that through the air, and it lands on other elephants and kills them. You know, or he gets under the elephant, picks him up, and spins him around like that, and then tosses them at the other, like that. So, that's his point. It wouldn't be a problem. It was only by the grace of God that Yudhishthir did not command him to kill them all. Right? The only reason they're alive is that by Krishna's arrangement, and Yudhishthir didn't allow that. Bhima looked at his sleeping elder brother. Surely he deserved to rule the entire earth. He never abandoned virtue or gave way to anger. Right? So Bhima, though he gets angry, he knows what the standard is, and so he respects his elder brother for that. So you can see, he may agree or not agree, but he's always respectful. He never is disrespectful. Only because of this, means Yudhishthir's good qualities, were the Kauravas still alive. Bhima sighed and looked around. They had traveled many miles through the forest. Perhaps there was a town or village not far away. He would remain awake guarding his brothers. And in the morning, they could continue. The prince sat on the root of a banyan tree with his mind and senses alert to danger. Right? Because, he knows what the danger is, and so he has his duty. He sits there, he guards there asleep, and then he watches, and anything is there, he's ready for it. Because, he's Bhima. What could come and bother them? So that's his position. Not far from where the brothers had stopped was a massive sal tree. Right? Sal is, it's a big tree. It's a hard wood. The door frames on doors are made from sal. So it just doesn't go bad. I don't know if any of you remember there, before we had the nice roads and all that to get into the, right under the hill, there was like a ditch or a moat next to the school. And in the beginning, there wasn't a bridge. There was one piece of sal wood. So it sat out on the ground, out in the sun and rain for a few years before we made a bridge and that, because it was quite big. So it doesn't get bothered. That piece of wood was still good. So it's a very strong tree. So when it mentions that it was a sal tree, and a massive sal tree, it means a very powerful tree. So you can understand this. Why a sal tree? Because you have a rakshasa there, and they're big and they're heavy, so they're going to pick a strong tree. On this massive sal tree lived a rakshasa named Hidimba. He had slept through the day and was just awakening as the Pandavas were falling asleep, right? So the rakshasas sleep in the day and they're awake at night, right? That's the mentality. Yawning and stretching his enormous arms, he sniffed the night air. At once, he detected the scent of humans nearby, right? Because that humans are their food, so then you're going to smell it. Just like we're sitting down at one end of the building, and you can smell when they're cooking something at the other end, like that. He sat up quickly, right? Because before he's just, then he's, okay. And called out to a sister who lived on the same tree, right? So they just hang out in the tree. Hidimbi, wake up. I smell human flesh. It has been a long time since we tasted our favorite food, right? Because otherwise they have to eat animals and other things like that. My mouth is already watering. Quickly find the humans, and after killing them, bring them here. Both of us shall eat our fill and then dance happily in many ways. The Rakshasa woman took her long orange hair and opened her blood-red eyes, shook her long orange hair and opened her blood-red eyes. So Rakshasas are dark in color. Their hair, it's bright orange, and it stands up on the head. It's kind of like those. I don't know if you've ever seen the little troll dolls, like that. They have that bright orange hair, so they're kind of like that. She cackled. Right? It means it's a very sharp kind of laugh, and looked at the long claws protruding from her black fingers. Right, so that she has long claws. They have the cackle. The hair. They have big fangs. They have pointed ears. Yeah. Hidimbi and her brother had often slain and eaten hapless travelers. Swinging down from the branch, she went silently through the trees, following the scent, right? Because she smells, so she just has to go and find where they are. In a few minutes, she arrived at the spot where the Pandavas lay. The Rakshasi saw the invincible Bhima seated nearby. As soon as her eyes fell upon him, her heart was moved by desire. With his golden skin and lion-like shoulders, the prince looked like a god. His neck resembled a conch shell, and his eyes were large, were like large lotus petals, like, because they have very big eyes, like that. It's just, it means, yeah, it means they have the qualities of the body of vata, pitta, and kapha, or air, bile, and mucus. And so the kapha makes for very big eyes. So you find that generally people have, you know, one nature, one, you know, they have vata body, pitta, or kapha body. Or sometimes they have vata pitta, you know, pitta kapha, vata kapha, like this, these kind of combinations. But you have those who are super qualified, like the Pandavas, and these, you know, more elevated, pious personality. They have a balance of the three. So they have always the, what's the good aspect of that quality. You know, it's just like, let's say, for vata, they have a very sharp understanding, but they, but the short-term memory is not very strong. So they'll understand it immediately and then forget it. So that's why you see the Vedic mantras, they don't bother with short-term memory. They just, you just repeat it, repeat it, repeat it, repeat it. You know, they're not trying to, okay, read it through and not try to remember it. No, you just repeat it until after 10 days, it's already in the long-term memory. So it's just, that's a Brahminical system, because otherwise they won't remember. And then once it's there, then it stays. So that's the thing. Let's say while vata, I mean pitta, they'll you know, catch things fairly quickly, but they won't forget it so easily. And kapha, they'll remember anything, but it's very hard for them to learn it. So if you have the proper balance, then you'll have, you catch it quickly, you know, it has that dynamic, and you'll remember it. Does that make sense? So in this way, then the fine skin and the big eyes, that's from kapha. And so then they'll have these kind of qualities. So they'll just be the perfect balance like that. Hidimba immediately decided immediately that he should be her husband, right? Because he's big, he's strong, he's beautiful, and that. And so as a Rakshas, it can't, you know, some little guy. It has to be somebody powerful. If she killed him, she and her brother would enjoy the brief pleasure of eating his flesh. But if she united with him, her pleasure would be far greater, right? So if she marries him, then every day she has, you know, she'll be happy. Deciding to ignore her brother's order, Hidimbi assumed the form of a beautiful woman, right? Because Rakshasas, they can change form at will. They have the mystic cities. That's why you have boors, the earthly planets. So we don't have naturally mystic cities. Then Swarga is the higher planets, and then they have those kind of, you know, powers. The Bhuvar is in between. So Rakshasas, Yakshas, Kinar, all these, they have some. And so then one of the things for the Rakshasas, and that they can change shape at will. Like you also, the Nagas, they can change shape. So they'll have their snake shape, their natural shape, and they also have a human form shape, or they can, you know, whatever they like. Decorated with celestial ornaments and clothed in crimson silk, she walked slowly up to Bhima. With a bashful smile, she said, "Best of men, who are you and what brings you to this dark and dangerous forest? Who are these godlike men lying on the ground? And who is that woman of transcendent beauty lying with them?" Because she can see they're very qualified. And it means the beauty they have and the qualities they have, they're not ordinary people. Bhima looked at her in surprise. Was she the forest deity? Right? Because otherwise, why would this lady, nice looking lady, be out in the middle of the forest? What was such a beautiful woman doing alone at night in such a place? He examined her carefully as she continued to speak. "This forest belongs to my brother, Hidimba, a powerful man-eating Rakshasa. With the intention of eating your flesh, he sent me here to kill you." She raised her hand as Bhima suddenly stood up, right? Because now he said, "Oh, he sent me here to kill you." So he's thinking, okay, ready. "Do not fear. I have been smitten with desire upon seeing you, who are as handsome as a god. Please accept me as your wife, for I am being victimized by Cupid's shafts." Okay, Hidimbi told Bhima she would save him from her brother. She would carry him through the sky and far away from Hidimba, so because they can fly also. So then she'll just pick up Bhima, they'll fly to some other place and all this. But then he makes the point, is Bhima sat down again. He shook his head. How do you expect me to abandon my sleeping mother and brothers simply for my enjoyment? Hidimi looked down at the sleeping Pandavas and Kunti. Wake them up. I shall carry you all away from this place. She was just saying, you come with me. He says, I'll carry you all. Like that. Bhima shook his head again. I shall not wake my mother and brothers out of fear of any Rakshasa. There is no Rakshasa, Yaksha, or Gandharva able to withstand my strength. O lady of beautiful form, you may stay or go as you please. Or, if you like, you may send your man-eating brother to me. I shall deal with him. As they were speaking together, Hidimba was becoming impatient, right? Because he sent the sister, she should have just grabbed him and came back, but now she'd had this whole conversation. Where was his foolish sister? Why had she not returned? The Rakshasa jumped down from his tree and moved towards the human scent. Okay, we'll stop here, and then we'll see what happens when Hidimba arrives on the scene. Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.